Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for June 8th, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Howard Rockman about new research that sheds light on how mechanical stress in the heart is converted into signals that promote cell survival. Dr. Rockman joined me on the phone from Duke University. Hello, Dr. Rockman.
Hi.
The current study that your group has just published in Science Signaling focuses on an angiotensin receptor, which is a type of G-protein-coupled receptor, or GPCR. Before we talk about the angiotensin receptor specifically, what about GPCRs generally? How do they signal?
I think it's worthwhile to give a historical context to G-protein-coupled receptor signaling. And essentially, the basic unit of G-protein-coupled receptor signaling, or GPCR signaling, there are three components: a 7-transmembrane receptor, a receptor that passes the membrane 7 times, and we call that a GPCR, a G-protein-coupled receptor; a heterotrimeric G-protein made up of a G-alpha, G-beta, and a G-gamma subunit; and then an effector molecule, an enzyme or an ion channel. So what we know from classical signaling is that when a hormone, such as adrenaline, binds to a 7-transmembrane receptor, it induces a conformation of the receptor where it then activates a G-protein, this heterotrimeric G-protein, the alpha, beta, gamma subunit G-protein. It induces activation of the alpha subunit where there is dissociation of the beta, gamma subunits from the alpha and exchange of GDP for GTP. This activation of the alpha subunit then leads to activation of an effector molecule, which is an enzyme or an ion channel, and this results in transduction of the signal, and essentially G-protein signaling or effector molecule signaling. The important point here is that work has revealed that not only is there a turning on of the signal, but there's an ability for the cell to turn off the signal. And that turning off of a G-protein signal is called desensitization. The main molecules that are involved in desensitization is firstly phosphorylation of the 7-transmembrane receptor by a kinase called the G-protein-coupled receptor kinase, or GRK, and then the binding of a molecule known as beta-arrestin. And when the beta-arrestin binds to the receptor, it prevents the G-protein activation and further signaling. So this cascade of signaling is turned off. And the important point here is that what we've learned over the last couple of years is that this molecule beta-arrestin has new and important functions. Yes, it's involved in desensitization, as I described. It's involved in recycling of the receptor, known as receptor trafficking, where the receptor, after it's activated, goes into endocytic vesicles called clathrin-coated pits and then recycles back to the surface. And for our purposes, and in this study, one of the more important new discoveries is the ability for beta-arrestin to actually activate its own subset of signaling pathways.
So signaling through a GPCR can be shunted through either the G-proteins or through beta-arrestin. What determines which way the signaling goes through the pathway?
Exactly. And that's what we're learning about these systems that are so magnificent in a way. So when a receptor is activated, as we classically thought, it would only activate G-proteins. And what we're learning now is that when the receptor is activated, it activates multiple pathways. And for our purposes, we'll keep it simple, and we can think of two groups of signaling pathways. Those activated by G-proteins. So in other words, the receptor couples to its G-protein and activates these G-protein signaling pathways. And then those that are activated by beta-arrestins. And in the typical case, typical meaning when a hormone activates or binds to a receptor, that leads to the activation of both G-protein pathways and beta-arrestin pathways. But in some instances, either through a ligand or an agonist, a hormone that binds to the receptor, or one that perhaps we created as a tool to study these systems, we could selectively target one pathway, a G-protein pathway or a beta-arrestin pathway. Now, we term that bias, meaning that we have the ability or the receptor has the ability, if it's activated in a specific way, to signal only down G protein, and that would be G protein bias or beta arrestin bias. So we define this term called biased agonism, and that is the property of the ligand receptor complex to activate a select subset of signaling pathways. For our purposes today, we'll call it G protein pathways or beta arrestin pathways. Now, what gets pretty interesting is that you could have a biased ligand, meaning a hormone or a molecule that induces a conformation of the receptor. So the receptor now is placed in a conformation because it's bound to this hormone that favors signaling down one of these pathways, say the arrestin pathway, over the G protein pathway. And that would be called a biased ligand. Now, potentially, you could also have a biased receptor. And that is to say that a receptor can adopt a conformation when it's stimulated to only signal through a subset of pathways. To date, we have a couple of examples of biased ligands, and we've created in the laboratory biased receptors through mutations in the receptor. But what our study has identified is that the nature has provided a mechanism for the receptor to become biased, meaning that the receptor, in the absence of a ligand or hormone, can adopt a conformation and stimulate a subset of pathways, in this case, the beta arrestin pathway.
The specific GPCR that you study, and the specific GPCR that's the subject of this paper, is the angiotensin receptor AT1R. What role does angiotensin signaling play in physiology?
So the angiotensin receptor is a G-protein-coupled receptor. That's one of those seven transmembrane receptors that I spoke of. It's stimulated by a neurohormone called angiotensin II. And this system, the angiotensin hormone and receptor system, is a vital mechanism for homeostasis in the body. It controls blood pressure. It controls salt and water handling in the kidney. It controls heart function. And it also controls growth in the vascular tissues, so vessels in the heart. And so it's a vitally important mechanism to maintain normal physiology.
AT1R can be activated by this peptide ligand angiotensin II, but it can also be activated by a mechanical stress?
Yes. So the angiotensin receptor typically is activated, it's induced into an active conformation through the neurohormone angiotensin II. And that stimulates both G protein pathways and beta arrestin pathways. There's no bias there. In other words, both pathways are activated. If you then have the angiotensin receptor that resides on cells and stretch the cell, what we've learned is that the angiotensin receptor goes into a conformation as if it was stimulated by a ligand, a hormone, but in a conformation that prefers the arrestin pathway. And therefore, it adopts a conformation where it shows biased signaling or it adopts a biased receptor conformation. And there's no activation of G proteins, only of beta arrestin pathways. So then one has to ask, what is the value or what is the importance of distinguishing G protein pathways from arrestin pathways? So what we have learned over the last couple years of experimentation is that the G protein pathways are involved in short-term physiologic responses. We get up and exercise, the heart has to respond, the vasculature has to respond. The arrestin pathway is a pathway that protects the cell against the stresses that occur during these acute phases. And in fact, we've learned over the last number of years that if the stresses on heart cells or on the vasculature proceed unabated chronically, say in diseases such as chronic high blood pressure, that this could have an abnormal effect and actually cause deterioration of the heart tissue or the vascular tissue. The arrestin pathway appears to play a role in trying to protect the heart and vascular tissue from undergoing chronic stresses so that the tissue deteriorates. So if one can harness the receptor and make the receptor adopt a conformation that preferentially signals through beta arrestin, one could potentially harness the good properties of the signaling pathway without too much detrimental pathway activation.
Could you exploit that, for example, to treat people with heart disease?
Yes, exactly. So I think it's valuable to spend a minute or two on mechanical forces on the heart and mechanical stress and what we believe causes heart disease. And I don't think we could generalize for every type of heart disease, but in broad strokes. Obviously, every time the heart contracts, there are forces, mechanical forces, with every heartbeat. There's a contraction on the muscle cell, and the cells contract, which lead to contraction of the whole heart. The internal diameter of the heart becomes smaller, and this leads to ejection of blood and gives the ability of the heart to pump blood to the rest of the body, and that's what keeps all the vital organs receiving oxygen and nutrients. Mechanical stresses, though, on the heart, one can envision that this could occur, say, during a extra load that is placed on the heart. Now, how would this occur? Perhaps, say, someone develops very, very high blood pressure. One could imagine, then, that if the blood pressure goes up very high, the heart has to pump against this extra load, the blood pressure. And then the pressures inside the heart increase. So now not only does the heart contract, but it's contracting against an increased load. And in fact, the heart may stretch a little bit, may increase its size. It's not all that dissimilar from a balloon. If you were to increase the volume of the balloon by putting more air in, the walls stretch. Now, if you stretch the heart, then there are added stresses on the heart. And the study that we then try to identify the mechanisms of the receptor signaling pathways, what we identified was that the angiotensin receptor actually tries to protect the heart during that period of the increased load by signaling down beta arrestin pathway. So, if during these periods of very high blood pressure, obviously you have to lower the blood pressure, and there are drugs that are available and that we use to lower these blood pressures. But if at the same time you could lower the blood pressure and help the angiotensin receptors to signal through the beta arrestin pathway that will protect the cell from damage, then you could achieve two good outcomes. One, lowering blood pressure, which is, of course, a very important thing to do, and also help the cell protect itself against the damaging effects of increased load.
In addition to treating high blood pressure with something like an ACE inhibitor, for example, that decreases the amount of angiotensin II that's produced, would it also be possible to induce beta arrestin signaling through the AT1R to activate these cell protective pathways to protect the heart from damage caused by the high blood pressure?
Yes, exactly. That's one of the ideas that has come out of this line of investigation. So there are two commonly use classes of drugs that target the renin-angiotensin system. One, you mentioned, the angiotensin-converting enzyme ACE inhibitors, which block the conversion of angiotensin to its active form, angiotensin II. A very popular medicine and a very effective medicine for blood pressure and heart disease. Another class of molecule that has been developed are receptor blockers for the angiotensin receptor, these ARBs, angiotensin receptor blockers. And these molecules specifically bind to the area of the angiotensin receptor where angiotensin normally binds, but because it binds in the same area, it prevents the binding of the neurohormone, the endogenous ligand, to activate the receptor. And that's why it's called a blocker.
When ARBs bind, then the beneficial effects of signaling through beta arrestin downstream of the angiotensin receptor aren't activated.
Correct. And what you have then is an unbiased blocker, a blocker that blocks both the G protein and the beta arrestin signal. Now, consequently, there are a lot of good things that will happen when you use an angiotensin receptor blocker because it's blocking the G protein pathway, and that's good. this line of investigation now suggests that if, in fact, you can develop a blocker that blocks the G-protein pathway, but simultaneously either allows the beta-arrestin pathway to signal or helps it, then you would develop what would be called a bias ligand. And that then could have all the benefits of our current ARBs, perhaps additional benefits by promoting the beta-arrestin pathway that protects the cells during these stresses that tend to damage the cell.
So do you think it would be possible to develop a biased ARB using existing ARBs that you just change a little bit chemically, or do you think this is going to call for an entirely new generation of ligand analogs?
It does involve the development of novel drugs, and in fact, I am participating in a company to develop these agents, these drugs that will be biased. And I think that the level of complexity will really depend on the receptor and the type of pathway that is being targeted. And for that, I mean, if it is to model a peptide receptor, that perhaps will be a little bit easier to develop. If it's to model a small molecule, such as an ARB, that probably will be a little bit more difficult, but in principle should be able to be done based on our current knowledge.
This sort of approach, this developing biased agonists, could also then be applied to not just to the AT1R, but to other receptors, to other GPCRs.
So GPCRs are the largest class of receptors, more than 800 members and been identified in the human genome. In principle, every GPCR could be targeted for a biased approach. In other words, G-protein signaling versus beta-arrestin signaling. In the broader sense, in some context, one may prefer to have bias for the G-protein signal. In other words, in a therapeutic sense, it may be advantageous to eliminate the beta-arrestin turning off part of the signal and have unopposed G-protein signaling in a biased ligand, for example. And so you could then develop an agent that really biased towards the G-protein side and not the beta-arrestin side, which is essentially different than what we have been talking about for the angiotensin receptor, but could be therapeutically quite advantageous for some diseases, for example.
Right. So whether you would want a biased agonist to bias signaling through the G-proteins or through beta-arrestin is going to depend upon the context and the timing and the cell type and all those sorts of things.
Correct. The receptor, the disease, the tissue, the organ that the receptor resides in. Exactly.
So the idea is to develop more tools, because the more tools that we have to use, then the more options that are available for addressing disorders.
Exactly. And I think right now, for example, that we have a number of examples where we have blockers for a number of receptors. Beta blockers, for example, are incredibly effective. They're not biased by and large. In other words, they block the beta receptor, the receptor that is stimulated by adrenaline, and they blocked both pathways. But potentially, one could develop a ligand that shows bias for only beta-arrestin or G-protein bias.
Thank you, Dr. Rockman.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Howard Rockman, senior author of a research article published in the June 8th issue of Science Signaling. That article is by Rakesh and colleagues, and it's titled Beta-arrestin-biased agonism of the angiotensin receptor induced by mechanical stress. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.